seated. And as you do, if you would, open to Hebrews chapter 3, starting in verse 12. Hebrews 3, starting in verse 12, we're going to go to verse 14 today. I've got to share an embarrassing story with you. A few years back, my wife and I almost bought a puppy off of Craigslist, but it wasn't a real listing. It was a scam. The photos were stock photos off of Google. They took those photos, they put them there, they made it look real, it was cute. We were in love, we thought, but it was all a scam. It was fake. And we soon had family telling us, hey, I think you better be careful here on what you do. Because, man, if payment went through, oh, the regret. And sin is the same way. Sin is a scam. It promises much more than it can provide. And we need encouragement of others to point us back to Jesus, who always follows through on his promises. He will give us exactly what he says he will. And today we're going to look at a text of scripture found in Hebrews chapter 3, verses 12 through 14, and a message that I've entitled, We Need Encouragement. Let's go to the text of scripture. Would you read along with me? Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God. But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original confidence firm to the end. Lord, we thank you for your word. God, I pray, as I often do, may it be a lamp into our feet, a light into our path. May it clear the way so we can see clearly what you desire for us this morning. God, I pray that those with their various experiences this week, their stories, their backgrounds, Lord, that you would speak into them in the way that your Holy Spirit knows to do. God, may we be open-handed to what you desire. Not to be stiff-necked, to be stubborn or obstinate against you, but willing to say, Lord, do and work as you would have in my heart and in my life. Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So a little background to the book of Hebrews. The unknown writer of Hebrews is writing to Jewish believers. And that's important for us to know this morning as we read our text. He's writing to Jewish believers with an emphasis on the believer part. And in this chapter, he is teaching on how to have true belief in Jesus rather than to trust ourselves and our sinful nature. And one of the issues he brings up here is this idea of unbelief, which we'll unpack in a few. Now, time and time again, if you've read throughout the Old Testament, you would know that God told them a way in which to go, and they were unfaithful in their ways, and they suffered the consequence. One of the examples in this chapter is the fact that Israel was called to go to the promised land, but they feared because they saw things with their own eyes rather than trusting in the Lord who would provide. And as a result, they suffer in the consequences 40 years wandering in the desert until the next generation comes. Moses, the appointed leader at the time in Israel, gives the word of the Lord again to the next generation in the book of Deuteronomy and calls them to trust the Lord. And the leadership is passed off from Moses to Joshua. And one of the things, time and time again, the Lord speaks to and through Moses is to be strong and courageous, which is, if you open up to the book of Joshua, that's exactly where it starts, is to be strong and courageous. Now, that strength and that courage is not self-will. It's not pulling yourself up by your bootstraps, trying to do it on your own. It's trust and belief in Jesus that he can and he will follow through on all of his promises. And today, as believers, we need to be encouraged in the right direction so that we do not repeat the same failings as the people of Israel. In fact, Paul writes in Romans 15:4, "For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, so that through endurance and through the encouragement of the Scriptures, we might have hope." We can learn from the failings of even saints in the Scriptures. We can learn from the failings of those who are called the people of God and how we're not to walk as well as how to walk. So the first thing I want to point out this morning comes from verse 12. If you'll turn your attention back to Hebrews 3 and look at verse 12, the first thing I want you to see is that we need encouragement when we fall into unbelief. Look back at the verse. It says, "Take care, brothers, lest there be in any of you an evil, unbelieving heart, leading you to fall away from the living God." Now again, a second ago, I said this book is written to a particular group of people, and I said there's a word in particular I want you to remember, and it's that it's written to believers. Hold on to that. It's written to believers, those who have trusted Jesus, whose salvation is secure for them in heaven. And one of the things we know about all of us as believers is we have a tendency to go wayward, to get off the path. And so the Word of God calls us, when we do go wayward and sin against God, that we ought to confess. 1 John 1:9 says, if we confess our sins, he's what? He's faithful and he is just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now this week when I was studying this text, I looked and commentators were divided on if this text was to believers or unbelievers. And regardless of who it's to, all of us need to confess our sin. It's not just for the unbeliever at the moment when they're saved, but it's also for the believer when we get wayward and distance ourselves from a good and perfect God. We need to confess our sins because there's a distance we've created, a fellowship we've disrupted because of our sin. When Jesus calls us, he calls us to do what? To follow him. And if you can visualize it with me, you are walking down the path of life and you're with Jesus and you're following him. And when you sin against Jesus, what happens is you create a separation, that break in fellowship with him, and you have distanced yourself. He never leaves, he never forsakes, but you have distanced yourself from a good God who says, follow me. And as a result, because of your sin and every sin you commit, including me, every believer, when we sin, commits a sin against God. Every sin is against him, and it disrupts our way. So we must return to Jesus and say, Jesus, I'm sorry by my words, by my actions, by my unbelief that I have sinned against you. Lord, I want that fellowship, that depth of walking close with you. Lord, cleanse me, forgive me. God, if there is any way in my heart that is not of you, God, make it right with you. So for the believer, we must confess our sin to have that closeness with Christ. Now, the sin we see here that we've discussed is unbelief. And unbelief is a stubbornness, an opposition to the ways of God. And even we as a believer can be stubborn and opposed to his ways. And this kind of belief leads to, as you look at the verse, a falling away from the living God. Now, if you're thinking like I'm thinking when I studied this, you thought, whoa, hold on a second. Falling away? Wait, what about the once saved, always saved? That we're secured in him? That's still true. But what does falling away mean? Well, when I went away to college, I wanted to do things my own way. I had grown up in the church. I had came to faith in Jesus at the age of 9. And I coasted in my faith. And when I was in college, I wanted to see what the world had to offer me. So I went to the parties, I tried to engage in things that were not of God, and I was out of church for what seemed about 6 to 8 months. And I was in a spiritually dry season of my life. And this was a season of rebellion. I had fallen away, but I had not fallen away from salvation, because you can't. I had not lost the Holy Spirit, because you can't do that either. I had backslidden. And the website I often reference to our students in student ministry is a website called gotquestions.org, and I like the way they describe or define the word backslidden. It is a regression rather than a progression in the faith. It is to, as I demonstrated a second ago, walking away from rather than being close to Christ. This is what it means to backslide. And what did I need in my life to call me back? I needed the encouragement of other believers. I needed someone to say, you don't seem like you're living like a Christian. You may claim that, but it doesn't show. And so there was a girl I was dating at the time who called me out in love. And then there was a college ministry I became a part of that called me out in love. They encouraged me. They exhorted me. An exhortation is a strong urging or a warning. This is biblical encouragement. When someone sees you going the wrong way, because they love you, they say the hard thing, the awkward thing, the difficult thing, so that you might return to that closeness you have with Christ. We all need this. And I needed that biblical encouragement, and the Lord brought that. You see, the Holy Spirit had been given to me. And so when I walked away, guess what the Holy Spirit did in me? He convicted me. Every time I sinned against God, I felt this deep weight of conviction. And that's one of the ways I knew I was in Christ. I continued to act out, but it didn't mean that I didn't have conviction. It didn't mean I was satisfied. The Holy Spirit works a lot like a bungee cord. If you've ever used one for your truck or you've ever just needed a bungee cord for something, a bungee cord can only go so far. And the same is true with you, believer. You can only go so far before the Holy Spirit pulls you and draws you back to Him by the goodness of His conviction. It's a good thing that the Holy Spirit was given to us, because He convicts us and He brings other believers alongside of us. Because a believer can lose faith or trust in Jesus without losing their faith. Hear that again. A believer can lose faith in God without losing their faith. In other words, you can lack trust in Him. You can get angry with Him. You can rebel against Him because of the season of difficulty you're going through. And yet, our salvation is secure. It's firm. We don't have a salvation that's built on eggshells or glass. We don't have to say, oh no, I'm going to lose it if I do this. No. If you have sinned in incredibly dark ways, if you have done things this morning that you regret deeply, know this, your salvation is not a salvation that's just going to slip out from underneath you. Your salvation is not one where you have to be so careful, and yet you still want to respect the Lord and honor Him. So don't hear me the wrong way. Just like Paul said, should we sin that grace may abound? No, by no means. And yet, if you have sinned in such a severe way this morning, this week, this year, know that His grace covers it. His Holy Spirit calls you back to Him. And I pray that other believers draw you and point you back by encouragement to the foundation of salvation in Jesus. Our salvation is secure because the Lord is secure. John 10:28 says, I give them eternal life, and they'll never perish, and no one will snatch them out of my hand. You see, The Lord has you. If you're in Christ, you are forever in the hands of God. And no one's going to take that from you. What I like to say often is we didn't work our way to achieve salvation. We cannot work our way out of salvation. Christ did it for you. He earned it for you. You cannot, by your good works, earn salvation. Nor can you lose them by your bad works. So here's what happened. As a believer, if you truly are in Christ and you have gone wayward, the Holy Spirit is calling you today. What's happened and what is happening is that He's drawing you back today by hearing His word, because we need encouragement. Right now, in this time, I want to encourage you to come back, to draw near, because He desires that fellowship with you. The second thing I want you to see this morning is that we need encouragement today because sin is powerfully misleading. It's powerfully misleading. Look at verse 13. It says, "But exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that none of you may be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin." Now you see that word exhort there, and it may be different in your Bible, but mine it says exhort. The word exhort is that word, as I said earlier, to urge or to warn. And this is not to be judgy or hypercritical of someone. It's not to be nitpicky, right? It's in love, biblically calling someone out in love because they have strayed from the path. And it's pointing their character. It's pointing to their character that it's out of step with Christ. So when our verse here says to exhort one another every day as long as it's called today, that is to take as many opportunities as you can to speak truth into one another's lives and personally point one another back to Jesus, pointing us back to Him. Now, this is good, and this is what we ought to do, but that's not the entire verse, right? Exhort one another as long as it's called today, but what else does it say? Look back there. It says that none of you may be hardened by the what? The deceitfulness of sin. You see, sin is deceitful. It is misleading. It will promise something and not provide. It will say one thing and give another. It always tells you this is the last time. No one's gonna know. It's gonna be great. You should do it, or you deserve it. But it never provides. It always leaves you wanting more, and not for good. Due to the deceitfulness of sin, we need others to point us back to Jesus. Because we, by ourselves, are not strong enough. That's why God provided the church. That's why God provided His word. And that's why God provided His Holy Spirit. Now, does anybody in here remember Spider-Man 3 with Tobey Maguire? Anyone remember that awful movie? At least to me, it was awful. In comparison with the first two, it was bad. Now, there's a scene in there where Tobey Maguire's Peter Parker turns punk emo, and he starts doing dances that we all remember, right? You remember those scenes? And he starts saying things that are out of character for Spider-Man. And the reason he did that is because something got a hold of him. And it led him down dark paths to say and do things Peter Parker, Spider-Man, wasn't known to do. And the same is true with sin. Sin, if you involve yourself in it. Sin, if you act upon it. Sin, if you let it dwell in you. The desires of sin will take you to a place you never wanted to go. And as the saying goes, keep you there longer than you wanted to stay. And there's more to that. But sin will lead you to that place. And sin will deceive you and lie to you. And sin, if you're not careful, can cost you dearly. Romans 7, 15 through 19 says, "For I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want to do. But I keep doing the very thing I hate. And that which I do not want to do, I agree with the law, and that's good. So now it's no longer I who do it, but the sin that dwells within me. For I know that nothing good dwells in me, that's in my flesh. For I have the desire to do what's right, but I don't have the ability to carry it out. Meaning, on your own, in your own strength, in your flesh, you can't follow God. You need the Holy Spirit to obey God's law. And then he says in verse 19, "For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want, I keep doing." Have you ever felt this way? Believer? Christian? New creation? Have you ever felt this way, where you keep returning to the same vice, whatever it is, whatever your vice is, whether it is the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, a lying tongue, whatever it might be? Do you feel like you can't stop and you keep returning over and over and over and you're sick of yourself? The Holy Spirit is telling you the reason you can't fight this sin is because you're trying to do it on your own strength, in your own efforts. And today, you need somebody to help you out. You need to invite them in. Listen, coming to church and worshiping corporately is a desire of God and something we should not forsake. But that is not the whole scope of the Christian life. Jesus also said to go and make disciples. And a disciple is a student. And if you're not doing that, we're missing the main thing Jesus called us to do. Think about that. Let the weight of that settle on you. Who is your disciple? Right? Who are you pouring into? If you've been in church for more than a week, gotten saved, the Lord is saying, go make disciples and be discipled. Who are you pouring into and who's pouring into you? Let's not miss that. We need that. We need that. If we're going to fight the pattern of sin, if we're going to get out of the rut we're in spiritually, man, we need somebody in our life to speak truth in our life. We need someone to hold us accountable, because otherwise we are not going to live to the level Christ has called us to. We're going to stay stuck, and then we're going to get bored with church. Listen, this is not it. This is not meant to entertain you. This is to instruct. And I know I'm 34 years old. I get that. I know I'm a young guy. But the Word of God calls us to these things. If we're not doing it, we're missing it. And it's no wonder we're tired of church. It's no wonder people church hop all throughout the United States, because they're looking at the wrong thing. We need encouragement in our life. We need others in our life. 2 Corinthians 5:17 reminds us, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? A new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Listen, believer, you're a new creation. The old is gone. You're not living that way. Remind yourself, that's not who you're called to be. Live for what's new. And then there's another possibility we have to consider. If you have no regret of your sin, if you have no desire to stop, no real desire to change your sinful appetites, I'm going to say something very hard, but you need to hear it. You're not a Christian. No desire to stop, no desire to grow, no desire to change, then you're not a believer. And I want to add to that sentence, yet. You're not a believer yet. The Lord wants your life. He wants to change you from simply a church attender to a follower of Christ. He wants to do that today. Today you need to give your life to Jesus. Today you need to submit your life to him. You could have been in church for years, know the whole Bible back to front, but if you have information in your head without transformation in your heart, you're not a follower of Christ. You need the Holy Spirit to live in you. You need to make him Lord and Savior, and you need to follow him alongside others in your life. Don't do this alone, and don't misunderstand what Christ calls you to. Again, we need encouragement today because sin is powerfully misleading. Third thing from our third verse. Third thing I want you to see is we need encouragement to remind us of our security in Christ. This is good. I want us to hear this. Look at verse 14. For we have come to share in Christ, if indeed we hold to our original confidence firm to the end. Like I said, who is this written to? Believers. This is to a believer. And believers share in what Christ has done for us. Hebrews 12, 2, some of us know this by heart. Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Jesus has secured our salvation by going to the cross. He is the founder of our faith. This is the faith in which we share collectively, together, a faith that's secure. It's unshakable. In fact, this verse goes on to say that the security we have in Christ is this phrase, we hold, and the phrase we hold is to have secure possession of. So if, as it says here, if indeed we share in Christ, if we truly are believers, we have a secured salvation for us in him. And maybe today you came in, and some of this is hard to hear because of the pain you've experienced this week. And I want to speak to you. Maybe you've come in from a hard week, some broken relationships, some relationships that need mending, some wounds that you have. Maybe you have a job that's not paying enough. And a lot of this is hard to hear and it's hard to believe. And here's the thing I want you to gravitate towards. I want you to breathe this in today. That Jesus today has given you something greater than anything this world can provide. And that's salvation. Your job's not secure. Relationships are not secure. Even family is not as secure as salvation in Christ. Hope in that. Bank on that. Trust in that. If you have been discouraged this week, set your eyes on Jesus. He secured our salvation. In Christ, the verse says we have this original confidence. And again, this verse continues over and over and over to back up the same point. If we study these phrases, the word confidence can be best rendered as a secured trust and assurance. So if you read this section of scripture and you're like, man, talks about falling away and losing this and doing that. When you study the text of scripture, it backs up everything else the scriptures have always said. And it connects with all other books in the Bible. Nothing else is like that out there. And nothing else is like this confidence we have in Christ. Now, when I think of the word assurance, as many of you, this song may come to your mind, blessed assurance. And I want you to hear this as I read it over us. Blessed assurance, Jesus is mine. Oh, what a foretaste of glory divine. Now, hear these words. These are promises for you. Heir of salvation, you were purchased of God, born of his Spirit. You were washed in his blood. This is my story. This is my song, praising my Savior all the day long. Listen, right now I want to be that person of encouragement to you. I want to ask you, why are you putting your trust in the things of this world? Why is your heart getting so wrapped up in trying to climb ladders of success, trying to be someone that someone else is? Why are you trying to seek the things of this world when Christ has offered you the best thing? It's life, it's salvation in Him. And it's secure. It's secure. And right now, you may need that reminder. But listen, this service is going to end. We're going to go home. We're going to leave church. Who's that person you have? Not just the service you get to be a part of. Who's the person you have who's speaking into your spiritual life that's allowing you to speak into their spiritual life? Because we all need this. We need this. We need this reminder. And just as our verse says, when we have this, we have a confidence that's to the end. To the very end. So who is that person? Again, we need encouragement to remind us of our security we have in Christ. Now, our text makes it pretty clear from verse 13 that we need those believers in our life to exhort us. That's your application point. So if you didn't hear it before, hear it again. Find that person. And don't wait. Don't wait. The writer of Hebrews is saying, hey, as long as today is called today, you need to exhort somebody. So today, write it down. Who's that person you need to go up to? And maybe it's been years of being in the same Bible study, and you've never said, hey, can we meet weekly or monthly and just do a check-in to pray with each other and then to speak truth into each other's life? Maybe you study a book together. Maybe you pick a book. Maybe you study a book in the Bible together, and you meet up and talk those things through. And let me say this, because I think we also need some diagnostics to our heart. Because I know me, which means I may know us. We all have the habit to nod our head and agree and say amen and affirm it. But there's stuff, there's stuff in the roadway of our heart that we need to clear out. And so I want you to do this. I have two questions I want you to talk through at lunch. Two questions. And if there's any kids in here, kids do a good job of this. Kids, I want you to remind your parents to talk about these things at lunch. If your kids are grown or you don't have kids, well, talk to your spouse, talk to your family, talk to your friends. But talk about these two things. First thing is this. What are some fears people have in not letting another believer speak into their spiritual life? So not you yet, okay, but other believers out there, other people, what are some fears they have? And then second question, here's where it gets tough. What are the fears you have? What are the fears you have in not letting another believer speak into our life? Because the reason we do this, sure, maybe some laziness, but really it's fear. And I'll be honest, for men in here, we probably fear this the most. If you're a churchgoer, and I've been in a few different churches, I hear a lot of women meeting up, women discipling, women Bible studying, but I don't hear as many men. So men, I want to challenge us. If we want a stronger household, if we want deeper relationship with our spouse, with our family, we got to work on us. We got to work on each other. We got to call each other to the greater thing. We all need encouragement. At this time, we're going to enter into a time of response as we respond to the words of Scripture. And if you have never placed your faith in Jesus, today we want you to share in this. We want you to share in encouragement. We want you to share in the secure foundation of faith we have in Christ. And here's how you can do that. It's by believing the gospel. And I want to be as clear as I can about the gospel. Because when I've asked cashiers, people that have cut my hair in the past, what is the gospel? I get all sorts of answers. A genre of music. The whole Bible. Which the gospel's in here. But here's what the gospel is. The gospel is the good news of Jesus. The gospel is found written in the Scriptures. about the coming Savior who would come in on a rescue mission. We have sinned against him, and our biggest problem is sin. And so Christ came into the world. 2,000 years ago, he came in. He lived a perfect life for you. He died a sacrificial death on the cross in your place for your sin. And he rose 3 days later from the grave, conquering sin and death for you so that you might have perfect relationship with God, eternal life, and forgiveness of your sin. Let the Lord work on your heart. Right now, even just say in the silence of this room, Lord, work on my heart. Let me be open-handed to you. Jesus, if I have been in church for years and never received you, God, today let it be the day of salvation that I would know my life is secure and in your hands. And today, if you're watching online, you can text the word Lakeland to the number at the bottom of the screen. And for those of us in person, we'll have ministers at the bottom of the steps. We would love to pray with you and talk to you about how to have a relationship with Jesus. God, we love you. We thank you for the fact that you are at work in this room. You're at work in our hearts. And God, I pray that you draw people to yourself. Lord, make your gospel known. Make your truth known. Help us to stop simply accumulating information, Lord. Help us to be a church that goes, that grows, and wants to make much of you in all the spheres of influence in our life. Lord, we love you. Work in this time, we pray in your name. Amen. Would you stand with us?